Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, happy new year to you as well. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for doing this, man. So let's start with this one. Well done on that piece. A lot of research, of course, went into that one and a lot of talking to people. Very, very well done. It blew me away just reading that whole thing of the players not exactly being over the moon and shocked by the idea of Alex Van Pelt no longer being there. What did you make of it when you heard that the first time?
Well, what I made of it was this was Kevin Stefanski and the Browns in a place where they're trying to sort of coalesce two worlds of offense, right? You have Stefanski's system, which has, you know, shades of that Kubiak tree of the play action, you know, the zone running scheme that can sort of be interchangeable quarterback. A lot of different quarterbacks can have success in it if run correctly. And Stefanski, to his credit, did that. I mean, they had top 10 offenses with different guys, whether it's Jacoby Brissett, Baker Mayfield. And so, you know, what struck me talking to some coaches that have been with Stefanski, people that have been on his staff before, when the change was made, they were pretty confused by that. It had nothing to do with Ken Dorsey, and I think everybody knew why they made it, is because some of Dorsey's calling cards of spreading it out, some RPOs, some no-huddle stuff, you know, like calling cards of Deshaun in Houston. So you kind of have to try to maximize Deshaun Watson. I think that was the goal this year, whether it was supporting him in the quarterback room with the right pieces around him, the system to help him, you know. But at the same time, I think it was a challenge. Even talking to Joel Petonio, he was like, look, we were running Dorsey's passing game with some of Stefanski's principles, and then we had a new assistant offensive line coach that came from the Eagles. We were implementing pieces on that. It was a big collage of offense that they were trying to make work with a quarterback who had confidence issues. It was just a hard task for everybody to accomplish, and I think that showed a little bit.
So what do you in the aftermath of all of this, what do you think the future of Ken Dorsey is with this team?
You know, I can really only try to piece that together with what I know. I know that Kevin and Ken have worked really well together. That has not been an issue at all as far as, you know, them being able to get the offense ready every week. And Kevin has a lot of respect for Ken. And look, that when he started calling plays, Jameis was playing well. And they were sort of, you know, talking to other teams. I said that Ken was doing a good job of, you know, giving the quarterback half the field to read and giving him some clearly defined throws. So all that was good. For me, it's a matter of when it comes to his future, I know some people around the league that you talk to are sort of openly wondering, okay, whether the quarterback's Deshaun or if it's a veteran or if it's a draft pick, will Kevin lean more into his original system and plan, which was part of the surprise of Alex Van Pelt. He was sort of an extension of Kevin in that offense. So does he lean more into that or does he lean more into Ken or does he try to pull off both, which was a blend of two? So I think that's a decision that the Browns will have to make. I don't know what that means for Ken Dorsey. I think on the surface, they feel like he's done a good job, but it's more just the reality of that circumstance I laid out, which could sort of inform what direction they go.
Jeremy Fowler, ESPN senior NFL reporter, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. So you brought up the Jameis Winston side of it and put an interesting report in the piece as well about Jameis Winston possibly coming back next season as competition for Deshaun Watson at the quarterback position, or possibly Kirk Cousins as well. If they wanted to bring back Jameis Winston, I wonder, and maybe your thoughts on this as well, why would you move on to DTR and then possibly Bailey Zappe if you're interested in bringing Jameis Winston back in? Because this offense looked so much better, and it felt easier to evaluate everything with Jameis at the helm.
I think part of it is they wanted to see whether Dorian Thompson-Robinson can be a solid backup for them. Like, can he be a two for us? I think they're trying to find that out. Where Jameis, you do know what he is. You know he can get hot, and he can put 400-plus yards on a good defense like Denver, you know? I mean, that was impressive. And then he has the interceptions that he's had to overcome and he's spoken openly about, right? But for the most part, I think the Browns know what they had. And they got a decent sample size, so they, knowing that the season is where it was with the three wins, they decided to pivot. You know, certainly I'll never question a team's desire to win and lose, because all these teams want to win when they go out there with what they have. But I do think the evaluation of a young player was part of it. Like, they needed to see whether they can rely on DTR in the future. So, you know, so we'll see. Certainly I think he's on the roster probably regardless this offseason, and they'll sort of formulate their plan, where I do think the proverbial wide net cast will be the case with Cleveland. I mean, they're going to look at everything. Do they need to draft a guy if they end up picking fourth or third in the draft? Like, that's going to be a situation where they probably have to look really long and hard about that. And I'd be shocked if you know, a solid veteran that they feel can start is not in the building in some capacity.
How realistic do you think the Kirk Cousins option is?
I think if it's a Russell Wilson situation where they move on with the guaranteed money and have no leverage to trade him, and so there's Atlanta's stuck to the reality that on an offset language they can, you know, a new team can sign him for $1 million. I absolutely think that that's on the table. Yes, I don't think they would pay a lot of money for Kirk Cousins based on what he did this year, but he's had success with Kevin in Minnesota. They've had success together. It's familiar. You would at that point have two quarterbacks coming off Achilles tears in Kirk Cousins and Deshaun Watson. That's not ideal, because I think we're seeing league-wide how that affects quarterbacks. I mean, you know, Kirk Cousins and Aaron Rodgers both didn't have the seasons they wanted coming off that tear, and now Deshaun has to come off it. So it's a consideration, certainly, but I think he's pretty high on the list for me as far as their options on the veteran market. Assuming he's available, which I think everybody does assume that he will be.
You're 100% right on the Achilles thing, because I have the mental image until the end of time of the Browns going up against Washington and just watching Kirk Cousins run bootlegs over and over and over again, and then find his way to Minnesota and do the same exact thing where he's just running these bootlegs and it looks so good. And this year, my guess would be it was lack of physical ability of why those bootlegs seem to have left that game. The only thing with Watson is at least he's still relatively young compared to those guys.
For sure. And that's the thing. Like, talking to pretty reliable Brown sources will say, like, yes, the injury and the compounding of the injuries is a major factor here, but physically – you can't say that he can't do it. Like, they still do see arm strength. They still see ability. Will he be able to run and move like he could? I mean, that's a major issue. But they felt like, at least from a velocity standpoint, he came back from that shoulder issue pretty good. Like, it's, and, you know, talking to people around the league, they say physically they feel like he can still do it, and he's young. So that's what's so sort of perplexing about all this is, that he just couldn't get right mentally. I think it was just a combination of 100 different things. It was the confidence. It was the offense and the blending of now two different offenses. But, you know, I think Kevin Stefanski's offense, a lot of people around the league do question that as a mismatch. That, you know, Deshaun can run it, but is that a strength of his? And then, you know, the injuries, like, it was pretty clear reporting this that Baltimore game last year where Deshaun turned the corner and was really good in that second half and they won. Like, they felt like, okay, we are turning the corner with Deshaun Watson, and then he gets hurt in the same game and is out for the year. Like, that really, you can't understate how killer that was for the franchise and for Deshaun.
from people you've talked to around the league inside of the Browns organization and your thoughts as well, will there be an honest quarterback competition in camp in Cleveland in 2025? Just your thoughts. And that's, I mean, goodness, that's as of January 2nd, 2025, because Lord knows how fast the NFL moves, Jeremy.
For sure. I mean, when I ran that same question by multiple sources, I was met with yes, that is a plausibility, a possibility that's on the table, yes. But I always get the caution that it's way too early to make any sort of sweeping determinations on that. And a lot's going to depend on how Deshaun comes back from that Achilles. Is he ready to compete? You know, I think the timeline says yes, but as we talked about, the movements, the ability to get in out of the pocket, can he do that? And be able to put together a genuine competition, I think is still a pretty open-ended question.
Jeremy Fowler, ESPN, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, the senior NFL writer there. Big piece on ESPN right now about Deshaun Watson, the Cleveland Browns, and what the future may hold for them. It seems like every time Jimmy Haslam talks, it's always about Kevin Stefanski and the safety of Kevin Stefanski, and that we think this is the guy that could go the right direction, and this is a hiccup. From what you've heard and what you know, does the same idea click with Andrew Berry as well?
I believe so. I mean, when I caught Jimmy at the owners' meetings, I did a quick walk and talk with him. It was about a minute and 20 seconds because he was leaving the hotel of the owners' meetings, and you know, I asked him specifically about his confidence in Andrew and Kevin, and he was firm that yes, they are well supported, and I believe in them. So I don't have any reason to believe otherwise. I mean, I would say when you sort of remove yourself out of Cleveland and look league-wide, Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski are very well respected. I think that's in part why Jimmy Haslam has been less impulsive, and we reported this in the story that he does trust his people. That's why they've been there 5 years. You know, I don't think Kevin and Andrew are sensitive. I think they take questions and input from Jimmy. And if they have ideas, they come to him firmly with a well-thought-out plan of how to execute it. He appreciates that. So I do think on the surface, the working relationship between those three is good. It's just, can you survive the losing now, right? Anytime you win three games, no matter what you've done in the past, it's can be hard to overcome and a little bit insurmountable. So they're going to get another crack at it, certainly, but you know the fact that they just signed extensions pretty recently does show that faith. And you know it's interesting with like Deshaun's contract. When you talk to other teams, other executives, they're like, "Yeah, they're really good, smart people over there. They made a bad call," you know. And I'm leaving a little wiggle room for Deshaun to come back and play well, maybe if that's possible still. But certainly through 3 years, they made a bad call. And now you have to just sort of eat the money and try to figure out a way to move forward. But it's a move that a lot of teams would have done. They can couldn't. But the teams that were involved with Deshaun 3 years ago trying to recruit him, I mean, you know, they all wanted him in the worst way. So 3 years ago, this was not, you know, the contract spoke loudly with the guarantees, but the move to sign Deshaun to big money was not foreign to anybody. A lot of teams would have done it.
So Myles Garrett went off into the media and basically asked the great question of, so
head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hi, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. On your wedding day, all eyes will be on you and your fiancé. Imagine your fiancé walking towards you looking incredible in a suit that's perfectly tailored, not some baggy overpriced rental. At Nick's Menswear, we've dressed over 20,000 wedding parties and over 60% of our business comes from referrals because we make this the easiest part of planning your wedding. For about the same price as a rental, we'll help you and your fiancé own a suit that's not only going to look great in your wedding photos, but can be worn again and again. Let us take care of the details so you can focus on the magic of your big day.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
What is the plan here? And I would like to see this plan before you know, guaranteeing that I will be a part of the future of this team. Is there a sense out there what the price tag would be for Myles Garrett if he were to find his way into the trade market?
I would be shocked. I mean, players like that, you just don't trade. You know, if you trade Myles Garrett, then you're tanking the season. So I just would be, unless he wants out, you know. But I think, like, as was told to me, and nobody with the Browns is going to reveal their full plan, and it's probably too early for that, but from what I was told, it's like, okay, Andrew Berry and the personnel department every year has made some level of splash. Like, they might not be making a $100 million deal, but whether it's Jack Conklin, you know, Austin Hooper, John Johnson, Dalvin Tomlinson, like, they're close to the top of market on a lot of these free agent signings. And either that or they're making trades, right? Amari, Jerry Jeudy, all these deals. So they're going to be somewhat aggressive by nature. It's like measured but aggressive. As was told to me, like, it could be as aggressive in the aggregate, but it might not be as splashy. Like, they might not be trying to pay top of market for guys, but they could be just as aggressive in trying to fill needs with, like, good players or using 11 draft picks and maybe spinning that to get a veteran. Or, like, they have a lot of possibilities where I feel like they will be aggressive by the end of it, enough so that it will be clear that they're not doing a tear-down rebuild. I mean, everybody I talk to says this is not a tank tear-down rebuild situation at all. Like, they feel like there are enough core tenants in place, three or four players on each side of the ball you can still build around if you could just improve it. I think they're going to get better in the running game, whether it's like bring Nick Chubb back and then either draft a guy high or get another good free agent. Like, I think they know that's a priority for them. It's been missing in part because of Chubb's injuries. I think they're going to address that in a fairly big way.
What is your sense of a future with Nick Chubb? Just because when he came back this year, it looked like a guy coming back from a major knee injury in the same way that we would expect it to look that way. You know, like, in the same way that, and we are not NFL caliber running backs, nor will we ever be, but, like, even if you've been injured and you're kind of relearning to come back, it's always very, very ginger, and it looked that way with Nick Chubb. Do you believe that he can get back to the guy that he once was, or even close to the guy that he once was?
I don't know if he can get back or not, but I know the Browns are taking into account, like, yeah, year one off the injury, it might not look the same. They're hoping the second year back from the knee issue that he'll get his footing a little more. Now, this is a guy who was probably the very best. So can you say he's going to be a 1,500-yard guy again? You know, that might be somewhat tough to ask for a guy who's now been in the league, at least 7 years? So, you know, you're pushing that 30-year-old threshold at this point. But, you know, nobody's counting him out. I think there's certainly a sentiment that they would love to have him retire a Brown or be able to extend his run with the Browns. What that looks like, or what the contract looks like, or what the on-field performance looks like is still hard to tell. But there's a sentiment for Nick. I don't think it's a sense of, like, whoa, he can't play anymore, we got to get out of this. I think it's like he can be better next year than he was this year.
Makes a ton of sense, Jeremy, and I hope for the best with that one, because, boy, you want to talk about somebody who is beloved in a city with an 100% approval rating. I mean, Nick Chubb is right up there with Dolly Parton when it comes to 100% approval ratings. Like, it's just unbelievable how much he's beloved here. So hopefully he can get back. It would make life so much better for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, he's a phenomenal player. I think even, you know, last year when I was doing my top 10 rankings where I rank players by position through, like, execs and scouts and have them all rank the players, like, they still wanted to put Nick Chubb number one, even though he had shattered his knee.
That's amazing.
You know, so, like, that sentiment goes league-wide. Like, that's how people feel about him. And he's gonna work hard enough to rehab that thing the right way and try to get back. So we'll see. But the Browns running game is going to be crucial, especially if Stefanski leans back into his system a little more.
Appreciate your time, Jeremy. Thank you very, very much for joining us, and a very happy new year to you and the family. If you want to read the piece, it's How the Browns Bottomed Out in 2024 and What Comes Next. It's right up on ESPN, and it is a must read. Thank you for the time, Jeremy. We appreciate it.
Hey, appreciate you having me. Thanks again.
I go right back to 1 o'clock. We had Jeremy Fowler for about 20 minutes after his big piece that was in the Athletic, after his big piece that was on ESPN yesterday, How the Browns Bottomed Out in 2024 and What Comes Next. A ton of stuff in there. Holy mackerel. We got a lot to react off of. folks, what do you think of the idea that they're going to bring in a veteran quarterback as a quarterback competition for Deshaun Watson? And that Deshaun Watson's tenure may not be done. That blew me away because I had always thought that he was just, that was it. We're done here. We're, you know, we goofed up. We've admitted that the mistake had been made. And boy, from what it sounds like, they're going to give him an opportunity because they think the arm strength is there. They think the skill is there. They think the talent is there. It's just going to be a matter of, you know, can he process mentally? And boy, if that isn't an if, I have no idea. That's a heck of a question in itself. Because the guy that I saw in the beginning of the year did not look like a guy who was processing quickly enough to play NFL football. And especially to be able to play top-tier NFL football. It just continued to open so many questions to so many of us when it comes to Deshaun Watson. There's so many unknown questions. There are so many things going into this offseason that they're going to have to figure out. And boy, oh boy, that side of it of them going, yeah, they're thinking they're going to bring Deshaun Watson back and have a quarterback competition and that there's people inside of that building who still think he can play. And that there are people around the NFL who are saying Deshaun Watson could still play. He's just got to get his legs back under him. Really, really interesting stuff. Really interesting, the crossroads this Browns team is in, including the fact of possibly bringing back Jameis Winston. That is the million-dollar question that I would love an answer to. If you're going to bring Jameis back anyway, why are you doing the DTR Bailey Zappe stuff? It's the great question of you see these guys in practice. You see what they can do. You see their abilities and you see their inabilities, and their inabilities were enough that you didn't start them to begin with. And their inabilities were enough that you saw it enough that you went to Jameis to start with. And hey, I know Kevin Stefanski can't stomach interceptions. It's not like DTR's come out and taken care of the ball and hasn't thrown it to the other team. At least with Jameis at the helm, I can evaluate the rest of my roster. I can find out if Elijah Moore might be somebody worth bringing back. Or if we just need to realize that that second round pick is for the birds and it's just gone and that's the end of it. I just, that is one of those moves that I just can't figure out. And maybe it's as simple as, hey man, DTR looks awesome in practice and he lights it up every day in practice. So we may as well see if he could do it in a game. And maybe he's just one of those guys that's a bad practice player and a great in-game player. I don't know. The whole thing after Jeremy continues to baffle me. Just this whole idea of, hey, maybe we'll bring Jameis back. What? Then why did you bench him to begin with if your thought was we're going to bring him back for 2025? I don't know. There's so much here. It's unbelievable how we once again are finding ourselves in this position. Kevin Stefanski's press conference coming up shortly. We will have that for you live as it happens. Ryan in Cleveland, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, guys. Happy New Year.
A happy New Year to you as well, man.
Oh, boy, I was going to comment briefly on the dome controversy, but the ideal thing for the Browns and the quarterback situation, I suppose Joe Flacco is under contract somewhere else now. Is that right?
Yeah, so he's with the Colts right now. I don't know what his next future beholds. I think it's only a one-year deal with the Colts.
Well, they ought to seriously look if the Colts release. I don't know why the Colts would release it, but if they do, it's bringing Joe back. If Joe were here now, we would probably be in the playoffs again. I know that's saying a lot, but Joe offered a lot last year, and he did a tremendous job.
He did, and will forever be appreciative of what he was able to do, Ryan. I don't know. The guy that I've seen with the Colts looks like the guy that's there's a reason why the other teams had moved on from, and I partially continue to wonder, Ryan, if that was just the lightning in a bottle situation where it was like, okay, this defense is playing at such a high level that we can live with ignoring the incompletions and the interceptions because this defense was just all world. I think I've always been against bringing the band back together for those kind of reasons where it's like, is this just lightning in a bottle?
Well, maybe so, but I would just go on what he did for the Browns last season. And now maybe the Browns can draft the Heisman Trophy winner. That's always worked out for him, but maybe not.
We'll see, Ryan. You never know. A very happy New Year to you on that one. Travis Hunter is intriguing, man. That kid, he's special. He is definitely special. We will see where it goes from there. Fred in Cleveland, welcome to the show. Fred, you there? Hello? All right, that'll do it. He was so excited. He wanted to really discuss this one. Again, we will have Kevin Stefanski for you right when he hits the podium right here on your home of the Browns, 92.3 The Fan. I am sure there will be a lot of questions asked all about this piece that came out, what the future is, the direction that it is all going, and everything that goes with it. I am fascinated with every last bit of this. Steve, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, man, how's it going?
I'm well, and a very happy New Year to you.
To you as well, and your family, my friend.
Thank you. That's very kind.
I got a quick question. I heard a rumor, and maybe there's no teeth to it at all, but I don't see a downside to it because the guys in the draft aren't any better, and I think we might have a what's the downside of this maybe 1-3 pick to the Vikings for J.J. McCarthy? If they sign Darnold long-term, J.J.'s going to be looking for somewhere to go and start. J.J.'s better than anybody we got in the draft right now for quarterback, and I think he might be his accuracy, his toughness, and his movement in the pocket. He might be the guy, and I think a number three pick for J.J. McCarthy is just like drafting him. I just don't see a downside. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
So Steve, that's interesting. Did you see Dane Brugler's tweet, who said if J.J. McCarthy came out in this draft, he would be quarterback one?
Yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable.
So I don't see the downside.
I mean, the downside is you could use that pick to get, you know, if you want Abdul Carter from Penn State, or if you think Cam Ward is better than what J.J. McCarthy is, or if you like Mason Graham. Like, that's the way that I would look at it, is there's like two guys that are up there, and Abdul Carter and Mason Graham, that, like, I think are surefire guys that can come in and really make a difference. Is J.J. McCarthy enough to give up on those two guys? And, hey, maybe the answer is yes, because a quarterback's a quarterback, and those guys aren't quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's my thing. This is the thorn in our side. This is the one thing. And I know we've tried time and time again to get the quarterback, but when it comes down to it, I mean, I know those two guys that you mentioned. They're one in a million. But we got guys, and we still don't have a leader for them. We need a leader of men, and I think J.J. McCarthy might be that guy.
It's an interesting point, Steve. I appreciate it, man. He could be. I mean, it would make a decent amount of sense. I mean, they are in such a conundrum. I wonder what the Vikings do. I wonder if they just franchise tag Sam Darnold this year and then go into next season and see what it looks like. And if it starts to get any level of shakiness, maybe they just flip it over. I could easily see that being the case for the Vikings, where it's like, okay, let's stick to the plan. Let's keep this down. And if Sam Darnold turns back into Sam Darnold next year, maybe, I mean, we've seen this before. You get these guys into the playoffs, you get that deep scouting on just one team and one team only. And you've seen before where it short-circuited some of these guys. I mean, we saw it with the Rams and Jared Goff. Like, you could kind of short-circuit them, and then you could put a ceiling on it. Now, we'll see where the Detroit goes this year, but we'll go from there. 216-474-0092. We'll continue to react off of Jeremy Fowler joining us a little bit earlier on 92 The Fan. Again, if you missed that interview, Radio Rewind, 1 o'clock, Kevin Stefanski coming to the podium. After practice has ended, hopefully will be any minute. Dan Madigan in for Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Keep it locked in.